Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons.
And today we are talking about character backstories and creativity through collaboration. And we are joined by...
James D'Amato. I am normally the host of the One Shot and Campaign Skyjacks podcasts, and the author of the Ultimate RPG Guide series published by Adams Media.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
Hey, James.
Hey, everyone. First of all, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on, man.
Yeah, we really appreciate you being here.
Mm-hmm.
Truly.
And we're going to talk about some really cool stuff today, so I'm into it.
I am so ready to dive in.
Let's do it.
So today is going to be a different kind of episode from our usual by-the-topic lecture. We're going to be having an open discussion on character backstories, how we go about writing them, our experiences with some of the pitfalls of over or under development, and the power of collaborative creativity, both in character creation, backstory, and in world building as a dungeon master. And we are joined by an authority on the topic and our wonderful guest, RPG expert and author of the newly released book, The Ultimate RPG Character Backstory Guide, Expanded Genres Edition, James D'Amato.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for the accolades and laurels. I kind of feel like everybody's on the same level here. We're all podcasters. We're all doing the actual play. You can see our successes and our mistakes, like, pretty well.
So true.
Pretty well established in our body of work. But yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this topic. It's one that's near and dear to my heart. I've written two books now on backstory, and really ready to go.
All right, well, let's get into it. So I wanted to open this discussion up with what each of us maybe considers the fundamentals of backstory creation. I have a few bullet points here. You know, I think giving yourself a motivation for the game's adventure is one of them. Creating a character history that informs a personality and abilities, and plenty of room for growth are probably my big three bullet points. But when you are thinking about creating a backstory for a character, what do you think are like the fundamentals?
For me, I think the big thing that I want to frame all things that you do in gaming through is it's a form of communication. When you are making choices in game actively, you are communicating with your party, and how well you communicate your ideas is how well they can build on them. Backstory is like usually one of the first bits of communication that you get between the people that you're playing with. I really want to emphasize that, like, it's good to put things clearly and try and identify the things that are most important to you and open those things up to be collaborated with. I think backstory, you can kind of fall into a trap of being too rigid with things, which makes it hard for people to like move forward and build with you. But if you focus on like finding what's important to me and how do I make this something that people can build on, then you are setting yourself up for success.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah, well said.
That kind of feeds into another one of what I think is the fundamentals, because you're talking about a bit of the flexibility is an important aspect of it. You know, that's why I think talking to your DM and making sure that there is a good synergy between the character that you're trying to make and the game that's being run, whether that's, you know, setting, genre, just the world building and other party members, etc. Communication is key. And like you said, backstory is like one of those first big pieces of information that you're communicating, not just between you and the DM, but between the entire party.
Yeah, if you're a group that plays with a session zero, like a lot of this communication might be built into doing that, like, you know, just sitting down and going, what kind of game we want to play and whatnot. But usually I feel like you have your session zero, or you have your, you know, initial conversations about what you want the game to be. And then you get some time with yourself, kind of away from everybody else, and think about what your character's backstory is. So that is like taking those foundational things from session zero, or, you know, the initial concept email that you get from whoever's organizing everything, and really ruminating on it, and then coming back with something new. So, like, because you're alone, like, there's a period of time where it's not collaborative, or it doesn't feel collaborative, because, like, you've taken in the information, you're trying to synthesize it into something that can be built with and built upon. So, like, you want to make sure that your ideas are staying true to those initial concepts. Like, if you're like, oh yeah, we're doing, you know, dirt farmers running around on the countryside from different monsters, it's like, well, maybe this isn't the session to break out, like, the secret prince background. Or if you do, you really got to be prepared for that not to pay off in the way that you might be expecting it to.
Yeah, that's very true. and speaking of that, I think my biggest one that I especially when it comes to new players and their backstories, is I always say give yourself plenty of room for growth. Remember that the adventure, the main adventure, hasn't happened yet, so don't make the main adventure be your backstory. Don't leave it where, you know, you being a level one doesn't even make sense if you take into consideration everything you've written for the backstory.
Yeah, man, if I had a nickel for everybody who, like, built themselves a backstory that, like, oh, I'm a former demon general and I, you know, had a world. And it's like, that can be a cool backstory, probably won't work in most like D&D games, and certainly, like, if you're coming in at level one or level three, it's like you're gonna be real disappointed about your capabilities in the game versus the character that you want to play in your head. So, like, really scaling the power level of your backstory to the game that you're about to play is gonna set you up for success in a big way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen a lot of cool workarounds for that issue, because a lot of players want to bring that cool storied character. Like, I have all this, like, this is why my character is so cool. I brought so much with it. And, like, having this really excellent, like a demon general that's been depowered.
Yeah.
It's like frustrated with their weakness now.
Sure. That could, like, be cool, a way to, like, make that work. Yeah.
Exactly. It is limited, though. There's only so much you can do to bring that forward.
Right.
And that's probably the main one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to make the concept flexible. Like, if you did want to be the former demon general, then, like, yeah, except, like, a depowered storyline or story arc, it will make role playing with that character extremely fun. If, like, you're used to being this world shattering conqueror, and, like, now all of a sudden your best spell is, like, prestidigitation, like. That is a really fun journey to go on, but, like, you need to accept it. And part of that is, like, knowing that, yeah, the story is going to be moving forward from here.
It essentially reminds me of the Thor origin story from the MCU. It's like, he was Thor, God of Thunder, this and that, until Odin strips of his powers, banishes him to Midgar, and now he's a level one human.
Yeah.
Level one human.
Level one human with 18 strength. Superhero. Yeah.
Yeah, with 18 strength. God, he was ripped.
So buff, so lightning.
This leads to the next most important thing in my eyes, is that it is, I feel like it is the duty of the player to come up with a motivation for the game's adventure. You know, don't put the onus on the DM to make you interested. Give hooks to your DM that he has something to string you along with, to pull everyone in the same direction.
I think that is a great point. And definitely, like, framing it through, there are two ways that you can go about this. The first is giving your GM hooks. Like, and what we mean when we say that is, like, give your character things that they care about. You know, it is a popular trope also to play a character who's like, well, I don't really want to be here. I was studying in a wizard school, and then my mentor sent me out on a quest, and I would actually like to return to wizard school and continue studying, But like, if there is a compelling reason that you will accept being out in the world, or something that is more important to you than even like staying cloistered up studying, your DM can work with that and construct scenarios to help motivate you to engage with the plot. The other way of doing things that I personally find much simpler is just going to your DM and being like, hey, what's this about? How can I construct something in my backstory so that I really care about this? If there's a big, bad, evil guy, how can I get it so that I hate the big, bad, evil guy? Or I am in love with the big, bad, evil guy and feel very conflicted about everything they're doing. Like, you know, there is a way. But like, if you are building into your backstory, it's a great opportunity for you to invest in the things that your DM is doing. I kind of find like a lot of well-meaning, but like not really working backstories tend to revolve solely around just the character's experience and don't connect to anything else, whether it is the DM story or, you know, campaign general plot line or the other characters around them. Finding opportunities to tie your character and their backstory to everyone else around you is going to make it so much stronger overall, because then all the action in the game that happens will be relevant to you.
Yeah. And that's why I think session zeros are super invaluable. We just recently had a session zero for an upcoming campaign we're going to do, and I'm the DM for that one. And I'm like, okay, guys, this is the state of the world. This is what's happening. And this is like what I generally want the story to be focused on. Let's now talk about characters and how we can make them like fit onto the squad that's essentially on a suicide squad to save the world.
Yeah. That's a cool concept. Like that in that example, I'm one of the players and it was easy to give a hook, like, you know, when the world is ending and all your character has to want is to do something about it.
Right.
So they'll struggle against that. I also like the idea of, like, we mentioned having that wall up as a player character. Like, my character doesn't want to do this adventure. Their goal is outside of the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So a campaign where you can have, like, you kind of force them into a box, like, you can't go home until you do this, and that's the only way. So get to know these people and learn to work with them, or else, you know. Yeah.
And a reluctant hero is, you know, it's a compelling storyline, and it's a trope we've seen 1,000 times because it's good.
Yeah, it's good. It works. You do need to let yourself be the hero, even if you are reluctant. Like, if you're Bilbo Baggins, you gotta let yourself be dragged out of Hobbiton, because otherwise happens.
Right. You can't just sit there with your arms folded.
No, you really can't. I think another point of building a backstory is, I think when you're making the backstory from your character, when you add elements, whether that's NPCs or just events, origins, all that other stuff, I think it should be done with the intent of whatever this thing is that you're adding, it's going to enhance something that happens later in the game. Like, adding things with the intent of it enhancing the future story, rather than having, like, I think too many elements in a backstory that are wrapped up by the end of the backstory, it doesn't serve that great of a purpose for the game.
Yeah, I think, like, a general awareness that the things that you're putting in the backstory are things that are going to be used. And if you as a player have kind of a preference over how those things might be used, it's a good thing to say up front, you know. Like, if you are going to give yourself like a wife and kid in your backstory, you can, when you're turning it into your DM, go, hey, I give myself a wife and kid. I'm totally cool with them showing up in the plot. I don't want them to die. Being very upfront about, like, this is a tool. This is a narrative tool that I'm giving to you. I'm putting it here because I'm excited about it and I'm interested in it. Mm-hmm. And putting up the parameters of, like, hey, these are the things that I'm most excited about. These are the things that I would really like to avoid, if we can. Because then, like, if I'm receiving that as a DM, I'm like, great. I know exactly how I should approach these characters, the kind of things that I can, like, use these characters for to underscore in the game. And I also know what you are disinterested in, so I don't do something that wildly disappoints you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, and again, it comes down to communication. And I think we exist now in a space where I think that is more of the norm, this communication between DMs and players. And I think in the past, it wasn't such a way. You know, I think there was more of the mentality of the DM versus the players, not so much in a purely antagonistic way, but in a impish, devious, like, oh, I'm the DM, what am I going to do to you kind of way. And I think we are, and we have moved away from that. And it's kind of been like that at my tables for a very long time of like, I'm not trying to kill you. I'm trying for us to make an awesome story. So yeah, if there's something you're super adverse to, like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put you in that situation.
Yeah. Death is something that is like, should be talked about beforehand, I think, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least like foreshadowed in some way or like communicated. I think that that's, like, it can really upset the player dynamic if someone unexpectedly dies. It's more narratively interesting. Or maybe it's not. I mean, maybe sometimes, like, the dice killing your character and forcing that in the story. That, I mean, that's part of the game we're playing,
too,
right?
Yeah, that is part of the game. But you can talk about that at Session Zero, whether you as a group are interested in that aspect or not. For instance, at our most recent one, death is a very real possibility. This is going to be a grim, dark adventure. So, like, can someone die? Yeah. Will someone die? I mean, there's a good chance it could happen. But we talked about that beforehand, so we're all mentally kind of prepared for it.
Yeah. And you're bringing in the backstories that, you know, you feel are appropriate to that. Like, the grim dark adventure, again, isn't maybe, oh, I'm the sole proprietor of an orphanage and I adventure to make everything go. So if you die in the grim dark adventure, it's like, oh, that's 12 kids too, bud. So yeah,
like, that's a good point. That's hilarious.
Working in that world, it's like, okay, yeah, I can build a grim dark guy. I live in a garbage can and I hate everything. So I fit into this world that hates me right back, you know, and I am emotionally prepared to receive any fate that approaches me.
I feel attacked right now. You just nailed my character for this game.
Oscar the Grouch. That's pretty much it. You played Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah.
The depressed version. Yeah. but all that, you sub out the grouchiness for depression and you nailed it. Mm-hmm. You nailed the construct for sure.
So on the Dungeon Master side of things, which is the side that pertains to me more so than the other side because I'm the forever DM, I have learned over these last 13 years of Dungeon Mastering that, like, how do I put this? I let the players in my game do a lot of the heavy lifting early on when it comes to the world building. Because, you know, I'll be like, this is the general setting, this is the genre, this is the feel, let's talk about it, give me your characters, give me some backstories. And then once I have the backstories, I'm like, okay, how do I build a campaign setting around these 3-4 backstories so that, like, everyone's important, everyone has motivation, and no one feels left out and nothing gets forgotten. And it has been really rewarding because it ends up filling out my world in a way that it wouldn't have been otherwise.
Yeah, I find it really invaluable as the DM to, like, take in as much information as I can from the players, especially up top, and incorporate it throughout whatever I'm doing. And a thing to note with that, especially, like, since we're talking about backstory from the DM's perspective, is focus on, like try to sit with some discernment about how you want to receive this information. How is it going to be useful? Some people can, like, you know, take a page or 3 to 4 pages of, like, densely written backstory. Some people need bullet points. Some people, like me, I gotta have you say it to me. It has to be a real conversation for me to be able to, like, incorporate it. So, like, figure out,
I think I'm in that boat,
and yeah, communicate, like, what's the best way for you to receive this. I definitely want a conversation because I want to be able to go as you explain things to me, like, ooh, could this be related to this or that be related to that. So I've, like, kind of built it with you in sort of an active collaboration. But yeah, like, figure out how you want to receive that information, how you can make it useful to you. Because, like, if your players are coming up with these backstories, if they're coming up with these ideas, they are telling you what they want to see in the game. They are telling you how to give them a good time. And that's, like, a little bit your job as the DM.
Yeah,
so definitely. That's making the job easier.
It really is. It really, really is.
Yeah, the game isn't as fun and, like, a bland, you know, just with the, here is now a troll. you will fight troll now.
Yeah.
Like, initiative time, roll dice, okay? Yeah, came from under the bridge. Like, very plain, right? So
sure.
If you're not describing the world and bringing that to the table, then yeah. The game loses that shine that I think most people are drawn to it with. The collaborative storytelling is super duper important.
Yeah. I learned at a very, very early DM age that I am not the author of a book. That is not what's happening here. That's not what this game is. Like, I'm not dictating to the players what story is being told. It's like we're deciding together, and we're like, that's, I mean, and that's 90% of the joy right there, is we all don't know exactly where it's going, but together we find it. And the reveals along the way are the most exciting part of the game for me.
Yeah, over planning, over communicating in D&D is a real thing. And I really love the advice you get from some tabletop RPGs that tell you specifically, like, leave blank space on the map, leave blank space for your character to improve and grow. If you have it all figured out session one, then, like, you're not progressing towards much, really.
Yeah. I want to use our live play, which is about to come to an end here in a minute, Super Quest Saga. And without character backstories, it would have just been a completely different adventure. I mean, we start off with Carter the Warlock, right?
Yeah.
And his entire backstory informed who the bad guy was. I didn't have a bad guy, but when Carter showed up, it gave me a bad guy.
Right. Yeah. We had some cool conversations about what it means for somebody like Carter to live in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when Jake chose to be a druid in this new futuristic setting, I had to figure out, well, how do druids work in this futuristic setting? I come up with the galactic spirit and all this other stuff, which has become integral, hugely integral to the story.
Yeah.
And the same goes with Josh choosing the paladin and how do paladins work. And
even his race played in a lot.
And his race played in a lot, too. But also just, like, the nature of his faith just transforming over the course of the adventure. Like, all of that is backstory. And it would have been just an utterly different thing if you guys had chosen three utterly different things.
Yeah. Like, if we had, like, a fighter, a bard, and a sorcerer.
It would have been a totally different adventure.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Let's see here. I don't know. You got any points you want to bring up?
Like just in general, I think I hit my main thing, which is I like leaving the blank space to work with. You know, you really don't have to have it all figured out. But if you do have, like, one of the things we talked about, I really liked was if you bring up something to your DM, like, hey, my character's mom is super important to them. Please don't kidnap her. Like, okay, cool. Yeah, because if you leave something valuable like that on the table, the idle hands and whatnot, the DM's going to pick it up and play with it probably. So if you don't want that coming up, like, dude, that's kind of triggering or something like that, or, like, I really don't want my character to have to go through that. Maybe we could work something else out if that's what you have in mind.
Right.
You know, that's really great. I like that. And I haven't really addressed that in that way with my players. So that's something for my personal games to bring up and sort of hit on with, like, are there things that are not okay, you know, because you're telling me what is okay, but we haven't really discussed, like, what's specifically what's not okay.
Yeah. And, like, bring it up in the context of, like, what would you like to see is something that, like, is really useful and really, like, easy and clarifying for you to do as the DM, because, like, hey, is this character's mother going to be like Mallory Archer and, like, constantly judgmental and, like, talking down everything you do? Like, is this going to be more of a Gilmore Girl situation where, like, you get along really well, you're both kind more of supportive. A mess and supportive still, despite, like, there are a lot of ways for that to break. And, like, as a player, just saying, like, oh, my character has a mother is so much different than, like, describing what the shape of that mother is in your head and how you kind of want that to impact your character journey. And that all breaks down to communication. It is only communicating half an idea if you say, my character has a mother. It is communicating a whole idea of, like, yeah, my character has a mother and, like, things are not going well, or my character has a mother and I've never met her. Like, that's huge. Yeah. There's a lot that you can do with that.
Right.
And then my question is, DM, well, do you want to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Shout out to DemonGorgon. Shout out to Demogorgon, oh yeah. Shout out to Demogorgon, shout out to Demogorgon, oh yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
So James, you wrote a book all about character backstories, the Ultimate RPG Character Backstory Guide. That's a big endeavor. What inspired you to write that book?
I suppose it is a little bit telling on us for me to say that the first character backstory guide, my publisher sought me out as just somebody who had a podcast, was doing an actual play, and they're like, we've got this concept. We would like somebody to write a backstory guide.
Interesting.
And hilariously, I originally thought they're like, yeah, it would be a guide that's got like 100 different like exercises and activities that you would use to generate backstory. And I thought they were pitching me like an anthology, and like they sent the order for the writing sample. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll write like 3 different exercises that I think would be cool. Send those off. And then like a couple weeks later, they sent over a contract being like, you're going to write 50,000 words on this. And I'm like, I was just writing 3 exercises. I didn't think I was going to do a whole book. But like it, the first backstory guide like turned into me trying to think through like, what do I need? What do I kind of think usually gets left on the table? Like, if you told me to come up with a backstory for a character, especially with a session zero, especially with like race, class, and like if I've got a couple levels, like there are things that I can pull out to create a story for a character, but there are plenty of things that like add flavor and depth to a character that I think can get left on the table. And if you're like me, just playing the game is not enough for you. Like when I am playing a good game, like I go home and I think about it, I'll talk my spouse's ear off about it, I'll be sitting around. And so the idea of the backstory guide is not just to give people like the ability to like, you know, new ideas for how to develop their character's backstory, but also give them space to play that is away from the table that can still have an impact on what they do at the table. It's this concept that I've come to call personal play. The idea that like, if you spent 6 hours, you know, creating a character and you spent 4 hours playing D&D, then I would say that week you played 10 hours of D&D because all the stuff that you did, like some people, like I have a couple friends, the most fun that they have is coming up with new characters. Like they like
it
playing
can be an addictive
them,
process.
But yeah, it's like it's even more fun to create new ones. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to create a resource for people like that, something that would give them more room to play, more room to have fun, and might lead them in directions of like really useful narrative stuff. So like the first backstory guide, like had exercises that like, hey, let's look at five things that you carry around in your adventurer's pack that you don't need, that your character has never needed, and figure out why you're holding on to those things.
Interesting.
There's another that's just like, hey, let's look at five different scars that are on your adventurer's body and like kind of where they came from and how they feel about them and how they look and whatnot. Because these are all things like reasonably, if you're playing a fighter, that character probably has scars. But unless
it wouldn't make sense for them not to.
Unless you had the like the foresight to be like, yeah, my character's got the one scar across his eye to show that he's bad. Like you're probably not thinking about, yeah, this is a scar that I got on my thigh because when I was 12, I got like bit by a horse. Like and that like even if that feels insignificant and silly, like that makes your character so much more of a real person.
Right.
So that's space that I wanted to create. And I did a lot of that in the first guide. This second one, I wanted to drill down on giving people like actionable ways, not just to create and generate backstory, but to bring backstory up in the game and help incorporate it into what you're doing. Two of the exercises in this book are dedicated to character secrets. And like, if your character has a secret, there's an exercise that where you draw cards from a playing card deck. And those are tied to prompts that help you explain to yourself why you keep your secret. Because like some secrets, it's like not entirely obvious why you wouldn't just tell the party right away. And it's like right. hard to authentically play that. This exercise, like through telling you like how revealing your secret in the past has hurt you or other people, it sort of like gives you like a real reason of like, ooh, this is why I'm holding the secret close to my chest. And the next exercise is you can combine it with the first one to take the cards that you drew and tie it to prompts of how you might be letting your secret out, like accidentally saying something about, you know, oh yeah, when I was sailing, because you're secretly a pirate in your past or whatnot, like little ways that you can like slowly reveal your secret to the rest of the party and bring right. them into it. So yeah, like I tried to split the difference of like creating like actionable, useful backstory and giving you methods and mini games that you can use while you are playing to help those backstory elements actually show up in what you're doing.
That's really cool. I really like the first part with the exercises because it really does make a difference when those little details exist, because when they come up fluidly, just having them offhand to be able to be like, oh yeah, this scar's from this or et cetera, like it does make your character feel more real.
Yeah, you're boosting the richness of the experience yeah. with those techniques for sure. Yeah, those are all really great approaches, definitely.
And I'm really into the fact that not only do you have like the methods for developing the secrets, but also like how can those secrets be revealed? Because that's the truth of it. If your character has a secret that you cared enough to talk to the DM about, it's because you want it to be revealed at some point.
Yeah, exactly. So, giving yourself a character secret, like, yeah, I'm just going to hold on to this the whole game. It's like, well, why does it exist?
Right.
But it's also like hard if you are a player, like some players are really attached to the idea and I'm not in this space. They're really attached to the idea of if I've got a secret, I'm holding it from the rest of the party because otherwise it's spoilers or whatever. And here's the thing. If you really want to keep a secret, you can. And it can be really disappointing when everybody is completely underwhelmed by your secret because like it's, well, it never showed up in the game. So I right. didn't know how to care about it. I'm more of the camp is like, well, if you got a secret, you should tell everybody at the table out of character.
Yeah.
That usually means at least one person is going to drive really hard to uncover it, which I think is like, that's a fun dance that you and that other player can like move between. But like, yeah, I want to make sure that like, if you come up with something for your character and it is important to your character, that like, you know how to do it and you feel like you know how to pace it in a way that feels authentic.
Right. And at the new Session Zero, we didn't talk about it, but there are multiple characters. There's three. Three of the characters for sure have secrets that only I know about, and there's plans for reveals for every single one of them.
I mean, that rules. That rules, especially like if there's a moment that like players know that they are pushing towards or looking for, that then that like that moves it from being an isolated activity where you are just trying to figure out things on your own to a collaborative thing, to something that you're working on either with your DM or the other players at the table.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I love how powerful this makes players too. Like, I think there's a lot of misconception for newer players to tabletop about the DM being all powerful and have all the decision-making power. And it sounds like your book gives people, empowers players to take that initiative and communicate those things properly, and DMs as well.
Yeah, yeah. I strongly recommend that, but that is also my play style. Like, I do know some people who are like really, really happy with being the sole god figure as DM, but like I don't truck with that very well. And most of the games that I've played in, I don't think have felt as fun. So I really encourage people to like take big swings with your ideas and like take those ideas to your DM, take those ideas to the other people at the party, at the table in your party, because like if it doesn't work, they can just say no or suggest an alternative. Like, you might chase those dragons, man.
Definitely.
Speaking of, like you were saying, it gives the players power. It also gives the players like a stake in the narrative as players, right? Like,
right, yeah, their fingerprints, the
yeah, their fingerprints are now all over this, so they're invested in like, well, what's going to happen?
Highly preferred as my style of play as well, because it really, as a game, it becomes better when everybody is participating in similar ways and having a lot of fun with it, you know, pushing for the things they want and making the story have an arc that they got their fingerprints on, and they'll be proud of it at the end.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Okay, James, well, is there anything you wanted to add before we talk a little bit more about your podcasts and maybe a little bit more about these books?
I will say one ethos of collaboration that I follow, something I have a heavy background in improvisation. I studied at Second City and IO in Chicago. And a lot of people are familiar with the concept of yes and, the idea of building on each other's ideas. One thing that I learned in the Second City Conservatory, a kind of refinement of the yes and idea, is make choices important. When people say things, when they introduce material to your games and put something out there, it is a choice that they are making. Whether they feel very strongly about it or not doesn't matter. They are still introducing a choice. You, either as the DM or as a player, can make a choice to really emphasize and underscore everything that people are doing. Like, if somebody is deciding that like their weapon is a boomerang, you can actually do some interesting narrative stuff by making that an important choice, even if it's not something that the player is expecting or anticipating. Making the things that people bring to you like really central to what you're doing, holding them sacred, that's something that you can do as a DM, like to people's backstories and the information they give you. That's something that you can do as a player with your backstory by really thinking about, you know, like if the DM's like, oh yeah, this is the Eternal City and the Infinite Dungeon is beneath it, like investing in your backstory that like, yeah, well, I come from a long family of people who, you know, depend on the Infinite Dungeon for our work and labor and whatnot. You are making that setting choice more important, and you're going to lead to like a better experience for everybody, because when somebody like notices something that you've done and they invest their creativity in it and they care about it, like it feels great. It's a huge impact.
Really? Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. So you are the Dungeon Master for your own podcast. The name of is
the, so I have two shows. I have a show called One Shot, where we play one shots in as many different role-playing games as possible.
Interesting.
We've been going about 9 years now. We've featured hundreds of different systems. So it's just, it's been a long trek. And I've learned a lot that I've been able to take back to, like, you know, the first games that I played, like Dungeons and Dragons, just learning lessons from the smallest and most surprising systems. If there is something that you've been curious about in role-playing, there's a very good chance that we've already, like, run a one-shot in it. We release our episodes as, like, hour-long chunks, but, like, they're all self-contained one-shot stories. And there's a lot to explore and discover there. The next is Campaign Skyjacks, which is a ongoing campaign that is an original setting based on folk tales and the music of the Decemberists. It's kind of like a
cool
sky pirate themed thing. If you're familiar with the game Illimat by Keith Baker, it's a tabletop card game that's, like, sort of like developed to feel like a classic card game, but have a few modern game mechanics in it. It was a collaboration between him and the Decemberists, and that game is, like, a central piece to how the world in Campaign Skyjacks functions.
Wow.
I would say of the work that I have done, I am proudest of Skyjacks. There's a lot of really cool stuff in it.
That's super cool, man. When it comes to the one-shot series that you have, you said you've tried hundreds of systems. What are some of, like, the shining standouts over the years?
In my opinion, the best designed role-playing game of all time is called StarCrossed. It was designed by Alex Roberts. It is a romance RPG for two players, a forbidden romance RPG, where you play two characters who are really, really into each other, but have a really, really good reason keeping them apart. And instead of dice or cards or other mechanics like that, there's a Jenga tower in the middle of the table. And anytime the characters do something that increase intimacy between them, you pull a brick from the tower and play Jenga.
Oh my gosh.
If one of you knocks the tower over, your character acts on their feelings. And it can happen way too soon. And in that case, okay, it's like, oh, the timing's wrong. It doesn't feel right. It's a huge disaster that blows up in everybody's face. You can play an entire game where the tower never falls over. You go through all 8 rounds and, like, the characters can't, like, simmer in tension and just walk away from each other. Or the tower falls over at exactly the right moment. They fall madly in love and run away together. It is sensational. Every rule is important. Every rule underscores the core experience of what that game could be. And most of the stories that I have heard from this game are breathtaking and beautiful.
Wow. StarCrossed, you said.
StarCrossed, yeah.
It sounds incredible. I got to look into this. This sounds amazing.
It's great. I have used it many times to enhance ongoing campaigns, where I'm just like, hey, we're about to introduce a villain that you've got some tension with. We're going to play StarCrossed to figure out what your previous relationship with this villain was like.
Wow. That's awesome.
I really like that. Yeah, that's cool.
It was like, and man, it came out beautifully. StarCrossed, I highly, highly recommend. Especially, like, if you've got a partner at home who's, like, maybe kind of into role-playing games but never tried it before, StarCrossed is, like, a 2-hour experience, and it is a great way to flirt with somebody. Man.
I'm into it. That's really cool.
Awesome.
Just out of curiosity, so we here at the Dungeoncast, we're primarily Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Next year, we're probably going to set out on an endeavor to test other systems just for the fun of it and for also, you know, comparison reasons. Have you tried your hand at second edition Pathfinder yet?
I have not. I find that most, like, Pathfinder D&D things, and, like, obviously Pathfinder in second edition has transformed its mechanics. The feeling of the game is quite similar.
Right.
Like, so you're not going to be really in foreign territory. It'll be like the same experience by different ways, and, like, obviously they've got their own creative things. It'll be fun, but I compare the experience of playing, like, Pathfinder versus D&D to more playing, like, it feels more like playing a different setting of D&D, even if the mechanics are different. I consider that like 13th age is very similar feeling to me. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, these are all different kinds of D&D, and like it's cool, but like yeah. it's like the difference between Spelljammer and Forgotten Realms. Like they're definitely different, and different mm-hmm. in cool ways that are like useful. But like, yeah, I know a bunch of people who design stuff for Pathfinder Second Edition, and I really respect all of those designers. So I gotta say, you're probably in for a really good time.
Cool, that's nice to hear. And yeah, I do see your point though. I mean, I have played Pathfinder First Edition. I played 4E D&D, and though all three 5E are very different, it does come down to like we're still playing the same type of game.
The thing that I'll throw out there, if you are like really into D&D, you love it as like one of your core things, and you're mm-hmm. looking to try a game that has some similar vibes but definitely shifts up the experience a lot, Keith Baker, who designed Eberron, like if you're Eberron, familiar yeah. with that, mm-hmm. like created a game called Phoenix Dawn Command that is a really, really compelling, like central focus fantasy RPG where you play these beings called phoenixes that are like kind of adventuring heroes. And the advancement mechanic in the game is every time you die, you get reborn as a more powerful version of yourself. And you can do that 7 times. And the way you advance on like your tracks depends on how you die. Like if you died making a sacrifice versus died failing to do something versus died like embroiled in revenge or whatnot, like these inform your tracks of advancement. It is a card-based system where your character is a deck of cards. Like you get a deck that is your character sheet in a way. Mm-hmm. It is a phenomenal game. Kind of undersung and underloved, but like if you're familiar with a D&D type experience and you want something like that's just a little bit different, Phoenix Dawn Command is so cool. It's so cool. Okay.
That sounds right up my alley.
Yeah.
That sounds like something I definitely want
to
try.
Yeah, we'll definitely add it to the list. We're going to be tackling quite a few next year, but that's really cool here. Thank you for the suggestions.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And shout out to Keith Baker, killing
indeed,
it.
Indeed, absolutely.
Keith just knocking out banger after banger.
Shout out to
So if our audience is interested in getting your book, and I'm sure many of them are, where is the best place for them to go get it?
So it should be in kind of every retailer you can imagine. All the major online retailers, of course, major brick and mortars like Barnes & Noble. Of course, I recommend that you go to your friendly local game store or an indie local brick and mortar. For those, you might need to call ahead because it's much more common for people to have D&D player guide on the shelf rather than my books. But right. like if you're going in a big place, it's definitely going to be there. But really call ahead to the independent places. They need your money more.
Yeah, they need your support for sure.
Definitely buy local.
So
games.
If you guys are interested in James's work, obviously the big book is the Ultimate RPG Character Backstory Guide, Expanded Genres Edition. Also check out his podcasts, One Shot and Skyjacks. Campaign Skyjacks. Thank you for coming on the show, James. It was wonderful having you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a delight.
Thanks, James. It was great
having you. Love to have you on again.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
The Dungeon Cast.